What if you had the resources you needed for your mental health right at your fingertips? Imagine a world where our mental well-being is prioritized just like our physical health, and where we have access to the tools and support we need. That's exactly what the Make Mental Health Matter show is all about. Join Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a true warrior for mental health, founder of Make Mental Health Matter nonprofit, author, and wellness coach. This show is your gateway to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health. Tune in for enlightening conversations, expert insights, and empowering stories that will not only increase awareness, but also provide education about mental health. It's time to have those hard conversations, prioritize your well-being, and make your mental health matter. Your mental wellness journey starts here.
Welcome to another episode of Make Mental Health Matter. This show, I bring you guests who are either advocates of mental health, those with lived experience, or professionals in the mental health space. I had myself on mute. That's pretty funny. I don't often come on and be on mute. So again, this show is really about getting the information out, not necessarily about perfection. And I am super excited for my guest today. I am in Colorado. It is super snowy today, and it is just one of those days that you want to stay inside and also, you know, have the conversations virtually, which is great that we have the show that is virtual. And if you happen to be watching for the very first time, thank you so much for joining. We are now debuting and expanding our reach even further, which is so exciting, specifically with this show today. So if you happen to be listening for the very first time or watching, we go out to many, many different platforms, and now we have expanded our reach. And the whole point of this show is to bring you resources, information, allow you to hear the stories of others and what they have been through. And maybe there is this piece that you hear throughout their story that gives you a glimpse into hope, or it lets you know that you are not alone. Also, any professionals or advocates that I bring in, they generally have a reason why they got into the work that they do today. And so they are really great resources, people resources, that maybe you didn't know that were available prior to now. So today's guest, I am excited to bring her on because she is somebody who has a story. She has a story to tell all about her life, what she experienced, and again, giving you that glimpse of hope. So I want to tell you a little bit about her before I bring her up. Her name is Christina. So she was actually diagnosed with clinical depression at 18 and really shied away from traditional medicine. She asked her therapist for tools to help the depression be at bay. She found that proper sleep and routine are a huge key to success. She also has struggled with fertility challenges in her adult life, and she has an incredible story that she is going to share with us as related to that and so many other things. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest on. Christina, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I gave a little brief info about you, but can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and more about your story?
I am Christina Hoffeld. I live in the Denver metro area with my husband and our son, who's 16 months old. We have lived here, June will be 6 years. We've traveled all over the country because every time a job changes for my husband, we move. But I did say this time we're putting down roots. This is it. No more moving. We can move as many times in the metro as you want, but out of state and out of the area is just, you know, that's out of the question. It's been really great living here. So as Kelly mentioned, you know, my story starts in adolescence. And I think something that a lot of people don't know is for women, depression is pretty common, especially in adolescence. And some of that has to do with hormone regulation. Right. For me, I grew up playing very competitive soccer, and I went to a college prep school. Part of the draw to the college prep school for my parents was education. I mean, my mom was a National Merit Scholar and got a full ride to Carnegie Mellon and was in the engineering department before women ever did things like that. And my dad grew up, quite frankly, in an abusive foster home. And could have very well easily been a statistic, but he understood that education was his way out. And so he put himself through Case Western Reserve and through a master's program at the University of Pittsburgh. And he and my mother met. He was a political science major. And so during his graduate studies, he and my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, were working on a campaign together. And all 5'4" of my grandmother, I mean, she was a feisty one, and she really liked my dad. And she said, "You'd be good for my oldest daughter. I need you to meet her." And so they met, and within that year, they were married and started their life. And so it's pretty incredible. But I say that because, to give background, education was so important to my parents. And so they put me through a college prep school with rigorous academics. I mean, I was having panic attacks because I was scared that I wasn't going to get into college, because part of the school's draw was 100% of our students get accepted to college, and you can't graduate without a college acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, when you really break that down, that pressure for an adolescent is wild, right? Coupled with a sport, a competitive sport, you know, it was just a lot. And it is something that, looking back, obviously I don't regret. I mean, it's lived experience, right? You live and you grow from everything. But it was so challenging. And I think the breaking point for me to start seeing a counselor is I had a panic attack, fell off of my chemistry lab stool because I passed out. And everybody was like, "What is going on? This is kind of scary." And in the back of my head, I was also having some suicidal ideation, because as a teenager, again, you know, your prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed. And so you think that everything right now is what it's going to be for the rest of your life. And that's just not the case. And so, you know, I broke down to my parents and I said, "I need help. I need help." My mom, being very stoic, was like, "I think you'll be fine." And my dad was like, no, I've never seen her like this. She's a happy kid, you know, and she's lost a lot of weight. And, you know, she's playing the sport, but she's not eating. Like, what's going on? She needs help. If she's coming to us sobbing, she needs help. And I was enrolled in therapy. And quite frankly, it was awesome, because it was something that I really do believe saved my life. Again, I think as a teenager, you just don't know. You just don't know what life has in store for you. And you do think that everything is so, it can be so bleak, right? And it's hard to see the future. And through talk therapy, you know, I would go once a week, and we would chat just about my life. And I said I didn't want to be on medicine. He said, "Okay, then let's really kind of backtrack. What are the causes other than brain chemistry, right? What are the causes of your depression? What things, what physical things in your life can we adjust so it doesn't become pervasive and dangerous?" right? And we really came to the conclusion that sleep, like that was one of the first questions you asked me, how many hours a night are you sleeping? I'm like, I'm not, you know, and it was because my brain was just running with all of these things and the pressure. And he was like, no, okay, let's stop there. You have to get sleep, right? That sleep is the gateway to so many different things. And he said, I don't care if you can't go to sleep, but you need to set this routine for yourself of getting in bed at a certain time, doing these routines. And what will happen is your body will learn to go to sleep, even if it's just laying there with your eyes closed. And creating that structure, creating that routine for me, it was wild because the anxiety that I was having and the depression, it just washed away. And by the time graduation came, you know, I had been accepted to school, so the stress is off there. But, you know, it was, I felt like a person again. I didn't feel like this oddball hiding in a group of people who looked like on the outside they all had it all together. So that's kind of where the big part of my story starts. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that also. And there were so many really good nuggets that you said there. One, that you acknowledged what was going on. Like, I mean, you probably at that moment was like, I have no idea what's going on, but I love the fact that your dad acknowledged it too and was like, no, she needs some help, which is amazing that he was able to identify that. And then knowing, which is something that I train all the time, is especially with youth, is that their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed. So, which is the rational part of our brain. And it's really, really real in those moments. Like for us as adults, we understand we can get through it. Like tomorrow could be a different day. Mm-hmm. But with you specifically, they really, that moment is like the moment and they don't see beyond it. So I think that's important for people to hear that it's really true. And that's what happens, especially with youth, until your brain's fully developed, which is like 25 to 28.
25, right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, luckily you had your dad, and I'm sure your mom was like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. She does need help. You were able to go to talk therapy, which is such a great outlet, even when we're younger. And you had this amazing therapist who was able to identify what was under all of it versus just treating the symptoms, right? You actually had a conversation about what was truly going on, and then him recognizing that sleep was one of the key components, which is so big for your mental health. So
yeah. I cherish sleep to this day. I sleep much later than my husband. And I mean, I go to sleep a little later than he does, but I'm typically in bed before him because of my routine. And it's that decompression from the day, from, you know, your surroundings. And I've found that that's so important for me.
Yeah. Well, just the routine. I mean, I giggle because I am not much of a routine person, although I try to be. But I know that that is so important, the decompression aspect. And I mean, shutting off the electronics and being able to at least get in bed at certain times. And it's such an important factor that I think we don't talk about that part as much as we should. So.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like you mentioned, sleep is paramount to so much of our, not even just mental health, physical health. It's so, so, so important. And I think that everybody is so busy that that's one of the first things that always gets cut. And it should actually be one of the last things to get cut. You know, and I know when I'm having really great sleep, it affects everything. I mean, I'm a completely different person. And some of that is, you know, brain chemistry. And some of that is also just your body responding the way it should because you're getting the sleep that you need. So, yeah.
And so I know you also talked about like you were in the space that you were having anxiety. Also in your intro, you talked about how you had depression at 17. So now you've started creating this routine around sleep specifically. And from there, how did it look?
Yeah. So I went off to college and it was interesting because my college was phenomenal. But because of the high school I went to, I already had college credits coming in. And my first 2 years at college were, I mean, just the stress, the level of stress that was lifted was unreal. And I felt like I could live and make real friends and do normal things because I also wasn't playing competitive soccer. The opportunity to play in college presented itself, but it was, for me, it was coupled with all of the anxiety and depression I had in high school. And so it was just something that I didn't want to engage in, right? It felt to me like a slippery slope because I also know that I have an addictive personality, and when I like things and I'm really very good at them, I can fixate, and that will be the thing that I am focused on, and nothing else around will be the focus. So lots of important other things could fall by the wayside, hence creating that cycle again of pressure on yourself, pressure from exterior, you know, unrealistic expectations that just put me on that hamster wheel. And when the thought of doing that again, it just did not feel right. I was happy having no obligations other than going to class and hanging out with my friends and saying, oh, what party are we going to do? And where are we going? And, you know, and just being a kid. Because so much of competitive sports, and I see it because I also coach soccer, you know, so much of competitive sports is set around planning your life. And how do you know what your life is really going to be as a teenager or even early 20s and you're in college? How do you know? That's such a big question, and it can be super daunting. And so I just kind of lived in the moment for a lot of college. And, you know, the original plan was to go to law school. But quite frankly, I was scared that, again, putting me in a super intense situation. I mean, I was really good at it. I have a pre-law minor and did really, really well in that program. It was very fun for me and challenging to argue with people and prove my point. But in the same turn, you know, pre-law program at your undergraduate school is very different than a 3-year intensive law program. And I interned with a judge, and the judge was like, listen, this is what you should expect. This is where, you know, you should go. And again, it just made me fearful of that level of commitment and how I could cycle back into a dark space that I just didn't want to be in. So I began working in restaurants. And that, to be honest, that was my career for 20 plus years. I did front of house. I did back of house. I worked in management. I went to culinary school and then set out and worked with a personal chef group for 9 years, you know, hiring chefs to cook in people's homes, doing parties, all of these things, cooking lessons. And that was really fulfilling. It was really fulfilling. But again, when things didn't feel right for me and when my anxiety was increasing and my depression was increasing, I was like, well, I have to make a change. And so, you know, one of the questions to myself was, how can I make a change and be impactful and feel like I'm giving something that's of value, you know, real value to people? And so I got licensed to sell health and life insurance. And so, you know, just watching people not have to bankrupt themselves when illness arises is massive. I mean, you know, knowing that you are covered for accidents or, you know, major diagnoses and not having to mortgage your house or whatever, that's huge. And those are, that's a really big impact as opposed to having to go to a crowdfunding site to ask people, and then people out of the kindness of their hearts, you know, just donating to you because something you wrote or said resonated with them. I don't think anybody should have to go beg for funding for their wellness or their treatment. And so that's what I do. I help people navigate that space so they can be prepared, you know, should the unexpected happen.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I want to talk more about that. We have to go to a quick sponsor break, but then right after that, we'll come back and chat and then even talk about a little bit more about your story too. So yeah, we'll be right back after this quick sponsor break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at DreamVision7Radio.com.
Make mental health matter. Support BCEvolution.org, a nonprofit organization in Aurora, Colorado, and assist by donating, volunteering, or shopping our merch. Either way helps us develop programs and events, help us increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. Become a mental health warrior and find out why it matters. Go to BCEvolution.org now or email us support@BCEvolution.org and make mental health matter.
Edesia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edesia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edesia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit edesiaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And like that, we're back. So if you happen to just be joining us, thank you and welcome to watching the Make Mental Health Matter show. I am talking to my guest, Christina Hoffeld, and we are talking about her story through being 17 years old and really going through depression and anxiety and the stressors that she had in life right around that time with going into, well, really being in a high school that you have to go to college and getting into college and having a little bit of the pressure taken off once in college, and then also being able to not do competitive soccer anymore because that's also another pressure. And as you were talking, I know that you transitioned out of the restaurant business, which can some ways like it's really, really fun, but then other ways it can be like really, really stressful too. I am one that was in the restaurant business for years and years and years, bartending, serving, all those things. And it can be a lot of fun, but then it can also kind of be stressful too. But then going into being an insurance, right? So helping people with supplemental insurance that they don't have to worry about the stressors if something comes up in their life, like a challenge or depression or whatever it might be, right? And not having to crowdfund or GoFundMe or, you know, set up those type of charitable donation, yes, is a word coming to my head. But I know that there's also another layer to your story as you, I'm like, as you grew up, right, as you became an adult, and you started trying to have babies.
You know, that one is, looking back again, it was something that we all, at least I, all meaning my husband and I and our families, really had to go through. I have two girl cousins that we grew up more like sisters than cousin. And one, we call her Fertile Motorola. She has six children. And there had been no history of fertility issues in our family on either side, with my husband's side or my side. And so, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say that. There was light stuff because my mother had two miscarriages. My brother and I are 9 years apart. And she had two miscarriages before I was born. And one was relatively early. And the other she was about 5 or 6 months. And my brother and I were very, very close, even though there was a large age gap. But I think when you become adults, you know, you just, because you're both adults, you're on the same playing field. There's not school differences or things like that, right? And so, you know, she, the miscarriage that was about 6 months, she had, my brother remembers, and he was saying that to this day, the smell of blood is a trigger for him, because he found her and they had to go to the hospital and all of these things, right? And so it's interesting how that can happen. And I commend her because she was always very transparent with me on what that was like. Right. She was always very, very, very transparent on her depression as well. regarding the loss of babies, of pregnancies, right? And so in my mind, because she had four pregnancies, two that fulfilled, you know, what they were supposed to do, and then two that didn't, you know, what happened, I just thought, okay, well, if my mom is fertile, then I'm probably fertile, you know, not a big deal. And, you know, it was awesome. Sorry. I'm just, I've got to, I don't know how to turn that off. So sorry. So, anyway, so I always thought, okay, getting pregnant is going to be super easy. We're going to be able to do these things. And my husband and I, we've been together since I was 19. And so when we were younger, you don't think about that. You think, oh, I have my whole life. You know, it's not a big deal. We're fine. And when we got married officially in 2010, we had been living together years prior, and we really kind of sat down and were talking about starting a family. We knew we both wanted that. And we just didn't know, other than what people tell you, just try. It's fine. You guys are still young enough, right? And we began trying. And from what the doctors told me after the fact is, I'm actually very fertile. It's just that my eggs aren't great. Mm-hmm. And I probably had more miscarriages than I actually knew about because they were happening earlier. And so when we got very, very serious about trying, I mean, I was taking those hormone stick things that, you know, test your levels to see when you're most fertile. Mm-hmm. So we could try to be very systematic about it. And nothing was happening. At least we didn't think anything was happening. And my mother passed away in 2016 from her third battle with breast cancer. I mean, it was a long, hard fought, right? She got diagnosed and they said, you have 6 months, and she lived 5.5 years. And I give all of this for context, right? So she passed April 22nd of 2016. I was grieving, and come to June or July, I said, okay, I'm feeling kind of weird. Let me just take this pregnancy test. I don't know if it's the grief or what. And I took a pregnancy test and it was positive. And I was so happy because we had already been trying for 2 years prior to that. And I know that sometimes there's nothing wrong with you and you do try for years and there's nothing wrong. It's just timing, because the window, quite frankly, is so tiny. It's so tiny, right? And all the circumstances have to be perfect, really. You know, when you really think about the science behind pregnancy, it's kind of magic. You know, it's kind of magic. And so we got the pregnancy test back positive, and my mind was blown. My husband, who is the sweetest, kindest soul, he was just dumbstruck. He couldn't even talk, you know, because this thing that we had been trying for was now actually coming to fruition. And then 3 days later, I began to bleed heavily. Mm-hmm. And I knew this is a miscarriage. There's no way this early with heavy bleeding that this pregnancy is going to be able to survive. There's no way. Mm-hmm. And so I called the doctor and they confirmed that that's what was happening. And, you know, luckily, I didn't have to have a surgical procedure. They just gave me the pills to be able to release everything. So I didn't have basically dead cells growing in me, right? So that's what you want. So, you know, that really opened our eyes to, oh, this might be more challenging than we thought. And so I began seeing a fertility specialist. And when we moved to Denver and really kind of hyper-focused, and the fertility specialist here, you know, one of the reasons I found or chose her and her practice was she not only did tons of research on fertility, she'd been in the business a long time. Her practice wasn't just about getting people pregnant. She also focused on menopause and mm-hmm. other women's things, you know, outside of, hey, we're just this she, pretty, make everything nice. Like, no, we're real doctors and scientists here. And, you know, I remember our consultation. I gave her my medical file because I've been getting mammograms since early, like in my late 20s, because I'm BRCA positive with my mother's history, her sister's histories, cousin's histories on that side. I'm just hyper vigilant. And so I handed her the file and I knew she was right for me because she said, "That's it." Mm-hmm. I was like, wait. So the pity didn't come across your face because, you know, I've talked to you about my familial history. I've talked to you about personal experience, zero pity. It was, that's all you got for me. Cool. Let's work with this. And I just felt for the first time in the medical field, at least, I'd really been seen, you know, and that was incredible. She was so honest through everything. And I respect that and appreciate that. I mean, doctors don't normally give you their cell phone numbers, mm-hmm. Unless they are your therapist, you know, for emergency, but she did. And, you know, when our son was born, she got pictures and, you know, she got pictures on his first birthday. Her name's Nanette Santoro. And she's here in the Denver area, and she's just so smart and so competent and so incredible. And, you know, what happened is we did a cycle of IVF, and my eggs, they're called highly vacuoled. So they had looked like they had little air bubbles mm-hmm. in them, and three fertilized into embryos. And we were super excited because for my age at the time, I was 39, you know, for my age at the time, that's a geriatric pregnancy, if you will. You know, I know that most people don't think that that's geriatric, but in the world of babies, that's ancient. And so, you know, I had a ton of eggs. It's just none of them, the rest of them didn't fertilize because they just weren't great quality. Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay, let's do one more round to see what we can get. And we did. And I think we got one embryo. Of the embryos that we did get, you know, the doctor found that through other just appointments that I had polyps and I had a thing called adenomyosis. So this is something that a lot of women actually suffer in silence with. It's like if endometriosis and fibroids had a perfect, beautiful baby, mm-hmm. and now it lives in your uterus. So my uterus looked almost like a cobblestone street, which is not ideal for housing embryos. And so the option was we could do surrogacy, mm-hmm. or we could, she could give me medicine to put me into menopause that could potentially smooth out my uterus and make it a great house to transfer so I could carry my own. And I leveled with her. I said, come on, like, how often do you do this? And what's the real prognosis? I don't want you to sugarcoat things because I feel like we have a transparent enough and frank enough relationship where you can give me the bad and it's okay, right? And she's like, surrogacy is expensive. I would never do that. She's like, but I also wouldn't put myself in menopause. Mm. She's like, but quite frankly, that's up to you. And she said, because it's not guaranteed, right? If I put you in menopause, it's still not going to be guaranteed that you're going to have a successful pregnancy. So that's my two cents. And I said, taken. So we went the surrogacy route because we did have embryos. And she just said, you know, she's funny. She said, I'm just wildly cheap. So there's just no way on earth that I would ever, you know, entertain that. And, you know, there are a lot of things that we see it on TV and it is kind of romanticized. Oh, you can just get a surrogate or, oh, you can just do IVF. I don't know that many understand the cost associated with that. And, you know, it's wildly expensive, right? Having babies the natural way is the easiest, least expensive, you know, option. And so, you know, we went down the surrogacy route because my husband was very scared if we did adoption at that point, at least, that he wouldn't be connected or there would be really challenging times bonding with our child because his child, his best friend is adopted. And my husband's experience with him was the parents always fighting and the parents. And I said, that has nothing to do with adoption. That actually just has to do with the parents and their divorce and them being jerks. Like that has nothing to do with adoption. That just has parents being jerks, right? And so we engaged a surrogate, and I don't know what you can call it, a sixth sense or something. And I said to the surrogacy company, I want obviously to meet her, but I don't want to get close. I don't want to have contact until she's like 6 months along because I don't want to get bonded to somebody and then lose this baby. And now we're all grieving. And then you go away out of our lives. And it was funny because our surrogate, she was wonderful. Her name was Michelle. She kind of pushed for us to have a relationship. And I told her, I was like, I'm apprehensive about this. I really am. I'm apprehensive. Like, it doesn't take away the amount of appreciation and respect that I have for you doing this, but I need to protect my heart. I need to protect my heart. And she's just such a kind, loving human. I mean, she should absolutely be a surrogate. Like, that's, you know, she is the person that you want, you know. And we did the transfer, and then her pregnancy was confirmed, and then we got a call that she miscarried. So I have never seen my husband on the floor in the fetal position crying, because it was a loss. It was another loss. Like, you know, hey, we found out that you can't get pregnant, you're on your own, and you, Christina, continue to have miscarriages. Okay, so we'll go the IVF route. Okay, not the eggs aren't great, and you probably can't carry that way either. So here we go down the surrogacy route. And now our surrogate has miscarried. And she was so sweet. I'm like, you know, you're dealing with loss too. And she's like, I feel awful because I pushed for a relationship and you knew, you knew, and there was something telling you that, you know, we just needed to go a little slower because this is such a precarious situation. And she just felt really guilty. And I was like, please don't feel that way. You were here and you came into our lives in a time when we really kind of needed that. And so we grieved. But I also can compartmentalize. And, you know, we grieved for a couple months and I said, okay, no, we've got to get back on this. We want to be parents and that is the goal. And so we went down the adoption path and, we got matched. We were actually in Omaha at a friend's wedding. We started the adoption process that January, like getting signed up, getting scheduled for classes. And then we were in Omaha for a wedding that September because they told us, oh, you're an interracial couple. You want a biracial baby. That might take a little longer just because of the racial makeup of the state of Colorado. And so... We don't want to cut you off, but we have to
go to a quick sponsor break, and then we will come back and we'll finish up that story. So we'll be right back after.
Yeah. Great.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And like that, we're back. A quick sponsored breaks, but so we were chatting about really how you have had fertility challenges, but then also really knowing that you weren't able to have a baby or carry a baby, and then you have these options, which as you were talking, I was just like, man, who wants to put themselves into menopause first and foremost? Right. Secondly, like who wants to put themselves back through the whole process again over and over and over? But then you did finally get to this place, and it is a story that happens much more often than we even talk about. And I know you and I had briefly conversated also, there's a lot of adoption in my family. My mom was adopted. I placed my daughter for adoption. My daughter's adopted mom was adopted. Like, we have this beautiful story of adoption, but as a person, as a woman that wants to have children, as a husband who wants to have children, right? Like, you have to get to this place that you're okay with the other options that might be a possibility. So I know that you started talking about adoption at this point.
So it's funny because I had brought that up many years ago to my husband, just because from early, you know, I was like, I'm going to have four kids, but at least one of them will be adopted. I always knew from very, very early that I was going to be a mom. I mean, my imaginary friends when I was really little, it was like a school or a daycare, but I had all of these children that I had to take care of. And, you know, and so for me, I think that the challenge was reckoning that your body is supposed to do this one thing and it can't. And I think that was harder for me, but again, with my father and the way he grew up, understanding that there was always something else was very prevalent to me, right? I just understood that this was a reality, and it was more educating my husband that his experience, his outsider's experience, was not what it really is, right? And getting him to understand that even if this child is not ours biologically, you, because you are such a loving human and you do want to be a father so badly, there's not going to be any issue with connection. There's not going to be any issue with you loving this baby. And that has been true. And it's funny because occasionally I remind him, you know, when we're doing playful jabs, you know, I'm like, I told you so. His heart is too big to not. And I could see that, but he couldn't, because his understanding had been clouded from a very early age. And so, we went down the adoption route. And like I said, we started that in January of 22. We were matched in September of 22.
Wow.
And, you know, we thought we were going to have to wait a year or 2 years, and that was just not the case. The birth mother said, when reading our profile, she said she knew that she was going to give her son to somebody or a family who had fertility struggles, because she knew that there would be nobody who would love that baby more than somebody who had these challenges, these disappointments, these heartbreaks, right? And she said, if I can find somebody to love this baby that way, then I know that I will have done my job. Because, you know, she has two other sons and they're older. And, you know, how do you go from your kids being able to get their own snacks and potty trained and going to school to, let's just start over from scratch, you know? And she wanted to go back to school and just do better for her life. And the fact that she had the clear mind to say, I can't do this, right? Because so many people, I mean, whether it's familial, societal pressures, you know, personal pressures, they're not going to do something like that, right? And she said, I don't care what anybody says. I know that I can't do this effectively. I can't do this the way that I know it should be done. And so we got matched, and it was incredible. I immediately called my brother, and it's funny, he and I talked on the phone. It was really late. They live in Florida, and it was really late, but they were also going through a hurricane. So he was up and he's like, well, first drum set's on me.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. And our son was born, the next month. He was actually supposed to be born early, early November, but was born mid-October. He was 3 weeks, little under 3 weeks early. He said, I'm ready to party. Yeah. And we immediately got on a plane. And I mean, quite frankly, the rest has been history. He's just incredible. My husband, we were talking about this actually 3 weeks ago. I said, when did you know that this was our baby? You know, and I said, I knew as soon as we got matched. Mm. There was no question. I knew that everything was going to go through. This was our baby. Mm-hmm. And he said, honestly, not until we got to the hospital and held him. And we were both crying because this thing that we had worked so hard for had finally come to fruition. And it's so interesting looking back at his early life, because my husband and I would like fight to hold him. And again, it's that I told you so. I knew you would love him. I knew you would be bonded with him. And they really are. They're two peas in a pod. They are amazing. Two peas in the pod. And it's been incredible. Parenthood is hard. I mean, he's teething. He's cutting molars now. So that's tough. But nobody's sleeping.
Right? I know. Back to the sleep thing. Yeah. No, and I love the story. And maybe I might just have to have you come back and we can just talk about adoption in general, because I think that's another... and maybe I can get like my daughter to come on and her adopted mom. Like, it might be kind of cool to do like a little special around adoption. And our time is up, which I know
it goes by so fast.
It goes so fast. So, I want to put this up here. If you want to reach out to Christina, you can find her on Instagram, and it's Head Hoff, Hoff. So it's HeadHoff. You can find her on Instagram. And yeah, I would love to just have you back and we can have a whole conversation about adoption, because that's actually something that I don't think I've had anybody just specifically talking about that. So I so appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much for being transparent and open and sharing your experience.
Thank you for having me. This has been such an honor. And I think what you're doing is incredible. And if we touch one person who has similar stories, then we've done our job.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thanks.
All right, y'all. That was another amazing episode. Aww. It goes by so quick, especially now that I'm doing two breaks. First one, I know nobody likes the breaks, but they're important. Okay. Yeah, we will hopefully have more sponsors soon. And again, we are launching into an even bigger market. So the messages are going to be heard across the globe, nationally and internationally. They already are, but we're going even bigger. So I hope this was helpful for you, bringing you a little bit of hope, maybe in that place that you didn't think was possible, just hearing Christina's story through depression, anxiety, when she was younger, into this place that now she is an adult, going through fertility challenges, and then also into this place of hope with adopting her son. So no matter what you do, make sure you come back next week. I go live every single Monday, and I'll catch you then. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining today for the Make Mental Health Matter show. We hope you found today's episode insightful and empowering. Remember, your mental health journey doesn't end here. For more resources, support, and information, visit us online at makementalhealthmatter.org and come back every Monday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You won't forget to subscribe to our show or follow us on social media to stay connected and continue the conversation, will you? That's right. Together, let's make mental health matter. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.